Cynthia Connolly is a photographer, artist, and curator from Washington, D.C. She grew up in a community of musicians and artists where they booked their own performances and produced and manufactured their own vinyl records. She was recently in El Paso as part of a book tour that celebrated a book called Band in D.C., which is assembled by Cynthia, Leslie Clegg, and Sharon Cheslow, and was originally released in December of 1988. Band in D.C. collects hundreds of photos, flyers, and stories documenting the D.C. punk scene of the mid-80s. Today, my guest is Cynthia Connolly. Welcome to State of the Arts.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
So, Cynthia, you and I met when you were in El Paso as part of your Band in D.C. tour.
Yes.
I love to get what folks' outside impression of our city is, and I think you had a particularly kind of cool experience.
Well, you know, I just dropped in and I was there for what I thought was going to be 24 hours. I was there for a little longer, but my immediate response was that it was sort of like a big, warm, happy family is a good way to describe it. And I really felt welcome, and people from, you know, anywhere I met on the street or at the hotel where I stayed or wherever, everybody was so interested in new ideas and talking about what people do, and they're really interested in what everybody, you know, they were interested in what I did, but I could see that they were interested in just the general dialogue and really generous and caring people.
I'm glad that's the vibe you got, because it's true. I mean, anywhere in El Paso, we'll feed you, we'll hug you, we'll welcome you, and that's it. You're part of the family.
Yeah, that's what I got. It was amazing. I actually felt really sad when I was leaving.
Oh, well, that just means you have to come back.
Yeah.
So your book, Band in D.C., I mean, really is a true cult classic. And you went on this odd tour. Will you tell us about your tour and your experiences?
Sure. Well, you know, the tours that I do, I have a full-time job as a special projects curator for Arlington County, Virginia, which is right outside of Washington, D.C. I actually really live in Arlington, Virginia. So because I have a job, I do these tours when I can. So I kind of look at different areas. Somebody says something like, oh, I can do a show here or talk here. So then I kind of arrange them around a certain area based on whoever is writing to me saying they want to do something with me. What I basically do is a talk about the book, the story of how and why I made the book, but then bring it into today's relevance by just talking about how or what it is that anybody in the audience, I sort of ask them to think about what was a turning point in their life to sort of direct them into where they are today. And so for me, that story is being involved with the punk scene, and I realize now that almost everything I do is based on my experience, you know, in my teens involved with the punk music and sort of that empowerment of DIY. That's how the talk is. So when I do the tour, it's very similar in that DIY kind of ethic where I published the book myself in 1988, and so nobody else publishes it, so I can keep on publishing it when I want. And so I can just go on tour when I want to because it's my books.
Yeah,
and they're
in
a big pile in my basement. And so as opposed to a publisher where they might publish it one or two times, and then they'll probably say it's out of print, and then you kind of move on to the next thing, this book sort of took on its own life, you know, obviously because the subject matter is still, people are still interested in it, so I kept on printing it.
And you were talking about this to a certain extent where you're like, okay, I'm freed from this book, because I guess you were doing the negatives and like just old school style. And then finally you're like, okay, it can't be done anymore, so it's over. But then it turns out it's not.
Right. Basically what it is that the book originally was made the old-fashioned way where you do these boards and then the printer shoots each page and they make these negatives. And then the negatives get stored at the print house or, you know, whoever the printer is. And then when you do a reprint, they pull those negatives out and they burn the plates that are used in the printing press to print the book. After 20-something years, when I said I wanted to reprint the book for the 6th edition, which was about 10 years ago, they said this is the last time you could do it because the negatives for the book are corroded and we can't burn plates after this. So after that printing, I thought, okay, it's now out of print. I'm kind of washing my hands of this because the only way to print it was to make a digital file of it, which we did not have because we made it the old-fashioned way, which was just like I described on these boards, and then the printer makes these negatives. So many people wanted the book that a friend of mine, Eric Denno, said, I will just do this. There's no way I would redo the book in a digital file. It would just take so long. But he actually said he would do it, and so he did it, which was really amazing. And so he and I kind of did it together, but he did most of the brunt of the work. I mean, I probably had, this is about 450 photos, so I had 100, and then the rest, the 300 or so, were scanned out of the book because many of the photographers didn't have the photographs anymore, or they were unreachable, or whatever the case may be. But I kind of waited as long as possible so that technology dovetailed into making this sort of bootleg book where you can barely tell that these were scans out of a book.
And you kept the text the same vibe. Yeah. I mean, it's just like this copy.
Yeah, so we had to retype everything, reproofread everything. Everything's the same except for the front page. And then the 8-page afterword that's new in the 7th edition. And the afterword talks about how and why I made the book, which Ian MacKay suggested maybe doing something like that to change it up a little bit. I really didn't want to change the book in any way because I really wanted it to remain the same because the story is fine on its own, and I like the fact it was made in 1980, 86 and 87 and published in 88. I didn't really want to change that story in the book, but by just putting in this sort of 8-page afterword that's, you know, not disrupting the flow of the entire book, it was interesting to write that afterwards and then realize the importance of talking about how and why I made the book and continuing that dialogue, which has made me realize by doing these talks that very much everything I do in my life is influenced by the punk music scene, which some people are like, of course. And other people, there was a woman in Phoenix who was sitting in the front row, sort of similar to you because you were nodding your head a lot when I was talking. She was just nodding her head a lot and smiling, and it turned out it was a revelation for her that when I was talking about it, that for her, she never even thought about it, that her life now has any connection, her punk life has any influence to her life now, but she all of a sudden, it all kind of precipitated and was like that aha moment.
Well,
it's very exciting.
It's incredible because it really, just like you, that punk rock ethos really shaped my life and still does, because at the end of the day, the biggest takeaway I had is like, well, if something doesn't exist, you just create it.
Right.
And
I know.
And just do it over and over again.
I know. I don't think other people understand that, but because you've done it, you know, you've lived it and you've done it as a, you know, as a teenager or really young, and we've done it, then we just see how it's possible, and it just becomes part of our language. It's not a hurdle. It's just part of our everyday.
It's so incredible to think about that, but it's so true. Even now, I'm not in music, you're not in music, but I mean, you're doing cool stuff. I'm still doing cool stuff.
Right, right.
Will you tell us about your life today? I mean, you know, you said special arts curator, but
yeah,
I mean, you're doing a whole bunch of cool stuff.
I guess so. It turned out that way.
Apparently.
you know, I worked at Discord Records for 15 or 20 years. Well, probably 15 years on and off. And then during that same time, I also worked for an organic farmer once a week because I was really interested in the distribution of food in the United States and the sort of health of food and, you know, the direction we were taking. And I knew about GMO, genetically modified seeds and everything in the 90s. I was really concerned about that. So I got kind of involved with the food movement as well. And then I quit Discord and I went back to school to this design build architecture program called the Rural Studio, R-U-R-A-L, Rural Studio. That's in New Bern, Alabama. It's part of Auburn University. I was there for a year, and I designed and built a vegetable stand because of my influence from the organic farming with a woman who started her own organic farm in Perry County, Alabama. And through the Alabama State Council on the Arts, I applied for a grant and won a grant that was supported by the National Endowment for the Arts, which was really exciting to get. And so the vegetable stand was built with that grant and other funding that's still there. And that sort of was a pivotal point in my life because it kind of taught me how to build in the three-dimensional, you know, it wasn't photography, which is more two-dimensional, but it started making me think of, like, installation work. When I came back to the D.C. area after that, I just applied for this job in Arlington County to be a curator or manager and curator of a 4,000-square-foot art gallery, and that ended up to be the job I have today, and it's sort of flip-flopped into different roles, and, you know, that closed, and we opened up a 60,000-square-foot art center where I was curator of three galleries and an artist-in-residence studio, and then we closed that, and they kept me, and they asked, what did I want to do, and I said, you know, I'd rather not be in a big building. I'd rather work with artists in a truck where we unload projects. They're interactive to the public, and we go to farmers' markets and festivals. I didn't even think of it at the time. I kept on describing it like a food truck. But later, it took 2 or 3 years for it to be developed, and we did get a National Endowment for the Arts grant to launch it, which was very exciting. I realize that it's exactly the format of working at the farmer's market with the farmer that I worked with for 20 years.
But on wheels.
It was really cool. So I sat there in van and I was organizing it, and this is what we need. This is how you do it. This is how you strap this in, and da da da. And I was like, well, this is actually, I already know this because I did this for 20 years with vegetables and equipment and all this other stuff. So it was funny to realize that that's all these different elements of my life came together in this project that I still do. It's we're going to launch the third season in April 2020, and it's been very successful and really fun to work with. I develop projects that last for 8 weeks with one artist. We call them an artist in residence, and the project speaks to their practice. So it's part of their practice, but it's a specific project developed for Arlington County. And it supports a county officer nonprofit. So the message in that interactive project, there's some message that supports an office. And so the artist is there, I am there, some assistants are there who understand what the project is, know how to speak about the art and the artist, and can represent the artist if the artist is busy, but also the community partner who is that office or nonprofit. So last year we had the Solid Waste Bureau, and we were talking about reducing waste and recycling best practices. And during that time, the county announced that we weren't going to accept glass into the recycling cart, and you'd had to drop it off somewhere. So we were sort of like the place where people asked, you know, were confused about this new change in protocol for recycling, and, you know, went to us. And so it was really fun to be sort of using an artist interactive project to talk about how to reduce waste, but also talking about new, you know, giving information to the public to make their life easier.
So we're almost out of time, but if somebody wants to know more about the trucks, where can they find out information about your art project?
It's on our website, which is arlingtonarts.org. And then there's a little tab that you can find the Arlington Art Truck.
Well, it's great to know that you're still doing everything, artists, curating, photoing, the whole nine yards, and book touring here and there. Well, clearly the passion is evident. Thank you so much, Cynthia, for being our guest today on State of the Arts.
Thank you for having me.